had something that was just so breathtakingly beautiful that it almost stole your breath. I remember almost 10 years ago for our 10th anniversary, my wife and I went to Hawaii, and we went to Kauai for most of it. We, of course, stopped in Oahu and saw Pearl Harbor, and that was unbelievable. And my wife actually was a Navy brat, so she grew up a little bit on Oahu, and so we saw her first little apartment that they lived in. And we went to Kauai, and I remember just being so awestruck. Just the sunset. I mean, the sun seemed like it was setting about a mile away. You know, you could reach out, and it was so big. And then I got up early one morning with my Bible, and I went out to this spot on the eastern part of where we were, and I saw the sun rise. And my dad always told me, as a photographer, he said, "Son, sunrise." He said this. "There's no light like morning light." And now there's a spiritual application there, Brother Tom. Amen. There's no light like morning light. Amen. Nothing like it when Jesus is going to come again. I thought about that, and you saw those things, and I remember those sunsets. I remember when I saw my wife come in the doors of the church auditorium late. And I was up here like every other groom, wringing my hands, and there's my buddies down there, you know, wondering when's this going to be over. Hallelujah. And I remember that all here comes her bratty little brother down the aisle, you know, and you just hurry up, let's go. And there's her sister, my sister-in-law, coming, and there's my mom coming, and her mom, like, get this thing over with. Amen. And then boom, there she was. I still thank God for Memory's Garden. I can still see it in my eye. I could still see it in my mind how beautiful she was, and just breathtaking. And by the way, still is. Still is. Amen. Husbands, good spot for you there. Amen. Good spot for you. I remember I had the privilege to be there for the birth of each of my children. See them born. Breathtaking. Incredibly beautiful to see. And I think about times like that in our lives, and dreams we have, and maybe wishes. And I don't know about you, I've had a few dreams and wishes in my life. I've had some come true, and I've had some not come true. I remember I was a baseball player, and I played on the All-Star team. I think I was 12 years old, and I come up with two outs in the bottom of the sixth inning. And I'd always dreamed about that. I mean, dreamed about that and dreamed about that and dreamed about. And I think I fouled off two or three pitches, Brother Rick, and then I laced one. And the second baseman reached out and made a fantastic catch and ended the game. Cried all the way home. Cried all the way home. You said, "Oh, yeah, hey, I was 12 years old. That was a dream I had. It got dashed." You know what? Sometimes our dreams on this earth do get dashed, don't they? Met a dear couple this morning, Isaiah and Rachel. Said they have a baby, and that's in a grave. Some of you have a baby in a grave. You know, I like what the poet said. He said, "I've dreamed many dreams that never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn. But I've realized enough of my dreams, thank God, to make me want to dream on." The context of our message today in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 is what we commonly refer to as the Last Supper. It was the Lord enjoying that final paschal meal, and it's recorded in all four Gospels, but the most detailed account by far of what took place is in the Gospel of John. We see in chapter 13, if you'll look there with me, we see, first of all, in verses 1 through 20, we see the humble deity. The word deity means God. And we see Jesus Christ there, and His disciples come together to enjoy the meal, and He gets a towel and a basin of water, and this one that created all the universe with the very word of His power gets down, and He washes the disciples' dirty, perhaps sweaty, perhaps even smelly feet. He gets down and He washes their feet. He not only is washing their feet, but He's instructing their minds in regards to humility. You know, if Jesus is willing to wash the disciples' feet, He's saying to them, you're not to be lords, you're to be servants. He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. There ought not to be a thing that we wouldn't do for our Lord, who would do anything for us and did. Went all the way to the cross. And so He's washing their feet. He's, if we could say, instructing their minds, but really, He's reaching their hearts, isn't He? And so we see the humble deity. And then in verse 21 through 30, but really verse 2, we see the hardened decision. Not only the humble deity, but the hardened decision. We see there in verse 2 of chapter 13, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And you go down to verse 21, and we have the account here of Jesus saying, one of you is going to betray me. And they all start to say, is it I? Is it I? And of course He would say, him that dips sop with me. And He looks at Judas and says, what thou doest, do quickly. Said Judas here allowed sin to harden his heart, and he made a terrible decision. Brother Becker, I believe probably the worst decision that's ever been made in all of mankind's history is the decision of Judas to betray the Lord. So we see there the humble deity. We see the hardened decision. We see the hastening departure in verses 31 through 33. And He says there, therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself and shall straightway glorify Him. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. Jesus here is talking about His soon departure, where He would go and be with the Father. And as always, the disciples, they didn't understand. They just didn't get it. By the way, there's hope for us. Amen? A lot of times we read the Word of God and say, I just don't understand that. Jesus knows. So we see the hastening departure. We see the heavenly directive, church family. Look at verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I write unto you, that you love one another. Amen. Amen. As I have loved you. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. We see the command there. He said, a new commandment I write unto you, that you love one another. We see the comparison there. As I have loved you. And then we see the certification. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. You have no idea what it does for a pastor when a visitor comes and I go off and visit them in their home and they say, my goodness, the church that you preach at, the church you pastor, is a loving church. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's obeying the command of Christ. That not just that we love souls, you know what? If we don't love each other and love souls, eventually there will be no church. We love each other. We love Him, we love each other, then we love souls. And so we see there the heavenly directive. We see in verses 36 through 38 the headstrong denial. I love Peter. My favorite of the disciples is Peter. He reminds us so much of the human spirit. It says there in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord Jesus, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? Now you have to love that. He wanted to be with Jesus. He just wanted to be with him. And he said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. I believe him. Brother Horsch, never forget, Peter was the one who swung the sword at the high priest's servant, cut off his ear, and the Lord put it back on. He said, put up thy sword. I believe it, but Jesus said here, he says in verse 38, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. There's a question from Peter, there's a contention from Peter, and there's an evaluation of Peter in these verses. The Lord said, it's not going to happen the way you think it is. Then we see in chapter 14, and I'm driving to our text here, the hurting disciples. Not only the humble deity, not only the hardened decision, not only the hastening departure, not only the heavenly directive, not only the headstrong denial, but the hurting disciples. You see, Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled. You see, they were troubled. They were troubled at their Lord's departing. They were troubled at their look for the upcoming. Remember in Luke chapter 24 when Jesus was on the Emmaus Road after He had died on the cross and risen from the dead, and He came upon Cleopas and another disciple, and He asked them, He said, why are your countenances so sad? What are you sad? And they said, what are you new around here? Don't you know what's happened in these last days? They said, Jesus Christ, a man, a mighty indeed, has been crucified. And then they said this, Brother Hendershot, they said, we trusted that it was He that would redeem Israel. You see, when the Messiah came in and they threw those palms and waved and said, Hosanna, they said, praise God, He's going to put Rome right under His heel. They got it wrong, didn't they? Just like we. So their look at the upcoming was certainly a cause for trouble and troubled hearts, discouragement. Their Lord's departing, the look for the upcoming, their leaving and forsaking. There was a time when they were talking about how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom. And Jesus didn't say, if you have riches, you can't go to heaven. He says, if you're trusting in riches, it's hard for you to go to heaven. Amen? And they said, what about us? We've left all and followed thee. How about this? You leave all and follow somebody, and then He tells you, by the way, I'm going away and you can't come. Huh? You'd have a troubled heart too. Matter of fact, we may even have to go in for heart surgery when they said that. The Lord said, He said, let not your heart be troubled. They were troubled about their leaving and forsaking. Maybe they didn't have businesses to go back to. Maybe they'd burned all their bridges. Really, they were troubled about their lack of understanding. Jesus had told them several times, read Mark chapter 9, verse 30, 31, 32, 33. He said, look, the Son of Man goes up to Jerusalem to be crucified, and 3 days later I'm going to rise again from the dead. In the next verse it says, and they understood not the saying. So their hearts were troubled. And Jesus here gives us some of the most comforting words in all the Bible. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. He stills their hearts. And He reminds them of their faith in God. And He encourages them in their faith in the Son of God. And He tells them about the home of God. The home that is being prepared. You know, life gets so difficult at times, doesn't it, church? I want to tell you this. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of it all, for the children of God, whom He has redeemed with His own blood, those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and been born again by the Spirit of God, at the end of it all, there is a place where all our dreams come true. And it's a place called heaven. I want to preach to you about heaven. I've got about, it's about quarter till. I'm right on time. I want to talk to you about some of the dreams that we have that'll come true the second that we enter into heaven. And I say, first of all, I believe the first dream that'll come true is the dream of peace. Peace. If you go down there in John 14 and you look at verse 27, you see a repeat of verse 1 in the back half of the verse. Jesus said here to His disciples, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you go with me back to Revelation 21, I want to show you something. I think there's an interesting contrast in Revelation 21 and 22, talking about peace. And ladies and gentlemen, the second you take your last breath and enter into heaven, it will be a place of peace. It will be a place of peace. Look at chapter 21, verse 1. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more" what? "Sea." But if you go over to chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "And He showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God." You see, the sea represents so much. It represents the churning and the moving and the constant motion. The sea typifies the wicked in the Bible and how it's just never satisfied. And think of all the tempestuous times in life represented by a sea. But in heaven, it's just a clear, quiet, crystal river. We live in a war-torn world, don't we? We just see the events of our days. I think about you from generations ago when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and literally the only time in our world's history where the entire world was totally at war. You know, in heaven, there is no more war. There's no more war. There's no more war of any kind. There's no more hatred. There's just peace. Just peace. The folly of our time is peace. Peace, 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 peace. You know, some of you remember the phrase, "peace at any price," and that meant give in. No. One day the Prince of Peace is going to make peace. Amen. Peace. Secondly, heaven is not only a place of peace, it's a place of joy. The place where that dream of joy comes true. I talked about that phrase that my dad had said, taking pictures. "There is no light that morning like morning light. Hey, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." You know what it says about Jesus, and that's Psalm 30, verse 5. What it said about Jesus when He was on the cross in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know what the joy that was set before Him, I believe it was? You and me joyfully entering into heaven. That we're, Isaiah 53 calls us the spoil. We're the spoil of the cross. Dividing the spoil. Here we are. We get saved not because of our own goodness, not because of what we did, but because of the cross. And Jesus looked ahead and saw that joy. Can you imagine? Now listen, we all have, on this earth, we have joyful days and we have down days. You think about your most joyful day. that you have ever had, having that for all eternity. That's all right with me. Amen? We're gonna have joy. Now, thankfully, we can have joy now. But it's going to be nothing but joy then. No sorrow. Okay? And so it's going to be a place where the dream of joy comes true. One of the great blessings of having children, and some of you now that have grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, that I've quoted Dr. Malone so many times, he said, if I'd have known how great grandchildren were, I'd have never had children. I'd just had grandchildren. Amen? And we're not there yet, but it's a wonderful thing to see the joy on a child's face. I saw some pictures the other night, Miss Kim, from little Kenzie at the Christmas day, the Christmas parade, and there she was. She lit up. Joy. Heaven is a place of only joy. Only joy. Number three. Oh, I love this one. Heaven is a place where the dream of rest comes true. Rest. One of the greatest funeral texts in the Bible is Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, henceforth that they may rest from their labors. Hebrews 4:9 says, there is a rest, therefore, for the people of God. No more burdens to bear. Pastor Donald sung it. No more burdens to bear. By the way, in that, pray now, because you can't pray in heaven. Pray now for that lost loved one. Pray now. And listen, many times praying for somebody that's lost is a burden. It's a heavy burden. We'll get to heaven, it'll be rest. We'll serve and never get tired. How about that? Amen. It says in chapter 22, verse, I think, 3, 4, it says, his servant shall serve him. We'll serve. What are we going to do in heaven? I don't know, but we'll never tire out. How about that? Amen. Just finally rest. We get little pockets of rest here on earth. Amen. Little pockets. We maybe get to stick your feet in Lake Michigan or the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific or whatever just for a day or an hour or something like that. But this is just eternity. Eternity. Eternity of rest. Resting. Heaven is the place where the dream of rest comes true, where the dream of joy comes true, where the dream of peace comes through. Oh boy. Where the dream of happiness comes true. Look at Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Go over to chapter 22, look at verse 3. Just the first part of the verse there says, and there shall be no more curse. Happiness. Happiness. Eternal happiness. Why? No sorrow. No sorrow. Not allowed. How many of you, boy, I guess I'd say old-timers, but I'll put myself in there because it's an old-time song. Know that great song, The Pearly White City? Anybody know that song? Hey, what a song about heaven. Somebody, I'm going to have to sing that sometime. Nobody raise their hand. Amen. No sin is allowed in that city and nothing defiling or mean. No crepe on the doorknob can enter. What a song. In that bright city. Why? It's a place of just happiness. Don't you? I don't know about you. I love being around happy people. I'm telling you, who likes being around a grouch? Remember that when you're shaving, sir. You know? Somebody said it takes, 12 muscles to smile and 72 to frown. I said, no wonder people are so tired all the time. Amen? Just always happy. Here's the thing, Brother Horsch. There's nothing in heaven not to be happy about. Yeah. Woo! You read that laundry list that we just looked at? None of those things are allowed in heaven. It's a happy place. It's an eternal happiness. Eternal happiness. It's the place where the dream of happiness comes true. It's a place where the dream of rest comes true. It's a place where the dream of joy comes true. It's a place where the dream of peace comes true. It's the place where the dream of life eternal comes true. And again, it's Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more what? Death. There's not going to be any death in heaven. Nobody's going to die. We're not going to sit by a bedside and hold a loved one's hand as they expire in our presence. Not going to have those little babies die in the womb. Not going to have that child die prematurely where you say, as my grandmother said to me, no parent should have to bury a child. We'll never have to say that in heaven. Because Jesus said, I give unto them life eternal. Amen? For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No death. No death. The dream of life eternal. Let me give you another one. The dream, and I love this one, the dream of sinlessness will come true. The dream of sinlessness. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you look at that laundry list in verse 4, you know what it's all because of? Sin. And then if you look at verse 27, it says, of chapter 21, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The beginning part of verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I believe this is where God wipes away all those sinful memories, wipes away all our sin. I don't know about you. I would love to go an entire day without a sinful thought or a sin. I'm telling you what, I would just love that. I can't imagine for all eternity never messing up again. Yeah. Never having to say, Lord, again, I'm sorry, and that's only 6:30 a.m. Amen. I'm sorry at 7:30 a.m. I'm sorry 28 more times. Amen. Forgive me. All eternity, never sinning. I tell you what, that's a dream. And it's going to come true. It's going to come true. We're going to be there. We're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The dream of sinlessness. How about the dream of beauty? Think of the most beautiful place you've ever been. Most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Revelation 21:2 says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know about you, but the thought of Jesus who spoke the world into existence in 6 days, preparing a place for me and you for 2,000 years. And read in Revelation 21 and 22. Read about the 12 several gates of 12 pearls. Read about the onyx stones and the jasper stones. And even then, just the beauty. And nothing but beauty. It has no closets. You know, no, you old timers, no Fibber and McGee closets. Amen? Where everything falls out and is a mess. It's never a mess. It's always beautiful. I told my Sunday school class, Billy Sunday had a man that had gotten saved and had trouble with tobacco. A lot of people have trouble with tobacco. Amen? Amen. It's a tough sin. It's a tough give up. And he said to Billy Sunday, he said, I'm struggling with this and I got a question for you. He said, can I go to heaven and chew tobacco? And he was saying, can I still go to heaven if I chew tobacco? And Billy Sunday said, absolutely, you just have to go to hell to spit. You know why? Because heaven's only beautiful. It's only beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a place where the dream of peace, joy, rest, happiness, life eternal, sinlessness, beauty. I love this one, man. I want to camp here. It's right at 12 right now. It's a place of reunion. It's a place of reunion. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, and 18, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we went out to New England this time, we were able to attend I have some younger cousins, and one of my younger cousins got married, and Mom and I and Carrie and the kids were able to go to the wedding and then leave quickly. You know what I'm talking about, amen? Leave quickly. Want to be a blessing, be there. And it was so sweet to see people I hadn't seen in 20 years. It was so sweet to see people I had. People that call me Ricky. I had a pastor friend of mine, he called me Pastor Ricky. I said, you ever do that again, I'm going to bury you in the backyard and tell God you died of the chicken pox, amen? Pastor Ricky, amen. It's sweet. It was wonderful to see those precious people. You know, in heaven, I don't know how long the reunion's going to take. Doesn't really matter. It's eternity. It's eternity. It's going to be a wonderful reunion. We'll see people that had a part in our salvation we never knew about. Somebody at a church that said, hey, pray for this coworker of mine. This guy's got long hair and he's a rock and roll drummer. And folks, would you just pray for him? And just like at our church, when some sweet little senior saint wrote that down and just started, oh Lord, please bless that young man. And I'm going to get to meet that lady. And she's going to be young too. Hallelujah. Amen. You buried a husband. You buried a wife. You buried a child. Not for much longer. Not for much longer. Reunion. The dream of reunion. When you parted with them and you said, and you cried and you said, I'll see you in the morning. Not goodbye. Not for Christians. See you in the morning. It's morning all the time when we get to heaven. It's a place where the dream of reunion comes true. Two more. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. We'll look at this one, and then we've got one more passage to look up. I want to read the whole passage this morning. Actually, this afternoon now. See, I preach so long, it goes from morning to afternoon when I preach. Amen. As long as it doesn't go from afternoon to evening, that's when a little bit more of a distance between 12 and 5 there. Don't be like that guy in Paul's long preaching who fell out of the balcony because I don't know if I could perform a revival service like he did. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. The dream of peace, the dream of joy, the dream of rest, the dream of happiness, the dream of life eternal, the dream of sinlessness, the dream of beauty, the dream of reunion. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I didn't know what to title this point, so I just called it the dream of more than we could ever imagine. The dream of more than we could ever imagine. See, however great you think heaven's going to be, it'll be better. Or as the great grammarian said, it'll be gooder. Amen. He said, your eye has seen beautiful things, it's better. Your ear has probably heard some beautiful things, it's better. And even the thoughts of the hearts that you could conceive can't even come close to touching it. Psalm 16:11 says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The devil hooks people with pleasure, doesn't he? Heaven is eternal. Eternal pleasure. And then lastly, go back to Revelation chapter 4. More than we could ever imagine. I'm just going to read. I'm going to start reading. You catch up when you get there. Read all of Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard of it was as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a starred in stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was like a sea of glass unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne there were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him and that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, I'm looking forward to every dream coming true, but the one most of all is I'm going to see Jesus. Amen. There He is! There He is in all His glory with the marks that I put in His hand. I'm going to see Him. The Bible says that we shall look upon His face and I'll fall down and I'll worship Him. Amen. The One who died for me. The One who redeemed me to God with His own blood. The One who led me all the way. Jesus. You see, heaven is an exclusive place. It's inclusive in the fact that anybody who wants to go can go. You want to go, you can go. Forgive me, I don't say this lightly, but if you don't want to go, you'll go to hell. Yeah. And for every bit that I have preached about how wonderful heaven is, yes. Hell is so awful. Can't conceive how great heaven is. I promise you this. We cannot ever even conceive how awful hell is. the dream of seeing Jesus face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, how can it be? Face to face in all His glory, Jesus Christ who died for me. It's a place where all our dreams come true. I have about 500 more points to this message, amen. But don't worry, I'm not gonna. Amen. It's the place where all our dreams come true. I'm closing with this. A story's told of a mother who had a very sick child. And it was discovered that the child was going to die. And so the mother, trying to help the child, but also her own heart, began to tell of all the things we read about in Revelation 21. And she began to talk about all the beauty and the splendor of heaven and the 12 several gates made out of 12 pearls and the fact that the whole city is made of gold. Not just the streets. The whole city is made of gold. And she began, and her child, a young child, 5 or 6 years old, just said, "Oh, mommy, that doesn't interest me. I don't. And the mother was kind of distraught, obviously distraught anyway. But then she began to talk about just the things that we've talked about today, how there'll be joy and peace and all that. And she said, mommy, I don't know about all that. That doesn't really." And finally, the mother, in her grief and in her anguish, she just pulled her child tight to her. And the child said, "Mommy, that's what I want. I just want to be close to Jesus." And you know what? In heaven, we're close to Jesus forever. Never to be parted again. Father, we love You. Thank You.